Hello everyone, this is Dark Journalist with an extended interview with Dr. Joseph Farrell on bearer bonds, secret finance, and the UFO file.
Well, it's interesting because you talk a lot about the Vatican and I...
Here we go, folks.
It blew me away. Toward the end of December of 2020, they were talking about how the Pope may step down and resign, and it was a rumor that was floated out there. Then he came out and he said, anyone who's a good Catholic should take the vaccine, which I thought was unusual.
Oh, yeah.
For a lot of reasons, including the fact that it's almost like getting a rabbi up there saying all good Jews should eat pork.
Yeah, exactly.
Because there's fetal tissue used in vaccines.
Yes.
As we know. And so this would be signing on to that program, which the Catholic Church is so highly opposed to. What on earth is going on with Pope Francis in the middle of all this? He basically seems like he's just part of their program.
Well, the first and most important thing to realize is that not only are all institutions penetrated, infiltrated, and co-opted, this is especially true of all of the churches, bar none. They have all been infiltrated by these people. And if you don't believe me, I point people to the appendix to Financial Vipers of Venice.
Yes.
Okay. They are all infiltrated by people who outwardly, you know, wear the robes and so on and so forth.
Right.
But do not adhere to the traditional confessional teachings of whatever ecclesiastical institution they're in. You've got to understand that. With that in mind, Francis originally I thought was going to be a caretaker pope because of his age. As his pontificate has unfolded, I'm thinking, no, we're dealing with yet another one of these infiltrators. We're dealing with someone that's been placed on the throne of the Bishop of Rome that is an infiltrator. Because his positions are not Roman Catholic.
Right.
This is why so much of the Catholic hierarchy is up in arms. So if he's planning to resign, I suspect it may be that there's being pressure applied to him to do so without causing a major upheaval in the Roman Church or something. He is clearly not within the Catholic tradition with these pronouncements. Just period, end of sentence.
Okay. Which is already weird.
Yeah. What that means is there's enough cardinals that are also on board with that program even to elect someone like that. That's what that means. That's how bad it's, you know, I go back to Father Malachi Martin. You know, his last book was a novel called Windswept House. And if you read it, the two works of fiction that Father Martin wrote were heavily, heavily based on real events. So much so that in one of the novels, you can, if you know the details of modern Roman Catholic Church history, you know exactly who the characters in the novel are. I mean, you can identify them, okay? Like, for example, his version of Pope Paul VI is Cardinal da Brescia. Okay, well, Cardinal Montini, Paul VI, was from Brescia, Italy.
Interesting. Okay.
So okay. In other words, you can read the novel and decode it. Well, in Windswept House, one of the themes that he just hammers home over and over again is that much of the hierarchy of the Roman Church are these co-opting people, are the infiltrators. And this is why the Roman Church is in such a mess. But that is true of every single church, Dan. Every single one, Lutheran, Anglican, you name it, They've all got their group. That's why they don't look or act like much of churches anymore. So Francis, to me, I think is in some sort of power struggle inside of the Vatican between, you know, the traditionalists, in other words, the real Roman Catholics, and then the fake ones.
Right.
That's my read of the situation.
Fascinating. And he is very unusual. I would say the idea of these popes stepping down again is also strange, because don't they usually die in office except for the last one?
Yeah. There was a Benedict was the second pope actually to resign in office. So in other words, there was a precedent for it, but it's very, very unusual. Benedict was the first one in hundreds of years to resign while in office. So if Francis resigns, and I'm of the opinion that Benedict himself was forced to resign for various reasons, but I think Francis himself was regime change operation. Let's put it that way. And I think you can look at the Obama administration, certain people from Hungary that we all know and abominate, and that sort of thing. Yeah, I think that's going on.
Oh, fascinating. It is interesting, many of his pronouncements, you know, and he was like, no one should challenge the election. Move on. You know, what are you talking about? Uh-huh. When does a pope talk about this stuff? It's very, very unusual.
It's very unusual, but it's also a reassertion in a clever way of papal claims and jurisdiction.
Yeah.
And it's also a way of getting people not to look too closely at that Italian Vatican satellite involvement. They're like, don't look over here. We didn't have anything to do with it.
There was one of the most kind of interesting stories that came out post-election was that there were these hackers who were involved in an operation with a company called Leonardo.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the military industrial complex of Italy, and that's their satellites. One of those hackers was held in prison and gave a separate confession about meddling in the 2020 election. Mm-hmm. There are old stories that come out about bearer bonds that you've covered extensively, in particular in your Clash of Civilizations book. And these were fascinating. And as soon as you did that, it seemed like everybody in the alternative media suddenly tried to do something with bearer bonds. Uh-huh. But you really brought that story out. That also was a big Italy connection.
Oh, huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Italy, you know, they've been at this game a long time too, you know. And it also involves space. Yeah.
Yes.
These bearer bonds were, this is such a convoluted story. The bearer bonds on the front of the bond, which were clearly fake, on the front of the bond, which was denominated in $1 billion.
Yes.
You had a picture of President Kennedy.
Yes.
On the reverse side of the bond, you had a picture of the moon, the space shuttle, and the lunar excursion module.
Okay. Right.
On the front of the bond with Kennedy's picture, you had a little red seal that was designed, I think, to look like the red seal of a United States note. Okay, not a Federal Reserve note with the green seal, a United States note, which is a debt-free instrument. Okay, and what did Kennedy do? Well, that national security executive order that he issued in June of 1963 to print up $4.3 billion of United States notes, bypassing the Federal Reserve totally.
Okay.
No clue there, folks. But anyway... that seal was the seal of a company in, I believe, located in Jakarta, Indonesia, that was a company that traded in sovereign securities. Okay? So we have a fake bond that's being smuggled by two Japanese men from Italy into Switzerland that are caught by the Guardia di Finanza, the Italian financial police, trying to cross the border. They seized a briefcase and opened it up, and it has this false bottom with all of these billion-dollar bearer bonds that total up to $134.5 billion in bearer bonds. Okay.
Wow.
Now the story is broken by East Asia News when that first happened. And 2 weeks later, President Obama was at a press conference where he was asked about these bonds, and he says, no, they're entirely fake. The U.S. Treasury has never issued bearer bonds denominated in $1 billion, blah, blah, blah. Well, East Asia News, the first story that broke is a Vatican-owned newspaper.
Interesting.
So I'm thinking, wow. Because also what I also mentioned in Clash of Civilizations is this is not the first time that you've had the Vatican connected to bearer bonds problems.
Right.
Because back in the 1970s, the cardinal, Eugène Cardinal Tisserand, who was also the head of the Vatican archives.
That's quite a connection, yeah.
There's a little connection for you. This French cardinal was involved in a scheme, and I put his letter right in Covert Wars and Breakaway Civilizations. This cardinal was involved in a scheme to counterfeit $900 million worth of American corporate bonds.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was two New York police detectives that uncovered that one.
That's just short of a billion. So there you go again with this incredibly large numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. So why do you have the Vatican connection to these bearer bonds? And let's not forget, Daniel, that Emperor Hirohito, who was the head of Operation Golden Lily, recovering all of that Chinese gold during World War II. Well, where did Emperor Hirohito put some of his money that he got from that? Guess where?
Italy?
The Vatican Bank.
Oh, yeah.
So,
wow.
So, you know, you just got to wonder. To me, the bottom line here, Daniel, is all of these bearer bond scandals, I think they indicate something real.
Yes.
Even if the bonds are fake, we had a Spanish bearer bond problem back in 2008 or 2009, where they recovered, I think it was $2 trillion worth of bearer bonds plus $100,000 Woodrow Wilson gold certificates banded. $10 million bundles banded with the bands of Chase Manhattan Bank, recovered in a locker that was, I forget, either the Chicago or the Dallas Federal Reserve Bank strongbox in Spain.
Interesting.
And then another one in Italy where another strongbox was found with $200 trillion worth, and it was either it was Chicago or Dallas, one of the two, in a strongbox. So I'm thinking, and again, everybody jumped on and said, no, this is all fake. Okay. The problem with the whole argument, Daniel, is if these bonds are fake, why are counterfeiters going to all the trouble to counterfeit bonds in denominations that are astronomical, that are going to be denounced as fake?
Yes.
Why go to all that trouble?
Right.
No one counterfeits a $7 bill.
Right.
Okay. So to me, this is an indicator that there is some sort of hidden financial system that is using bearer bonds in astronomical amounts for financial clearing.
Right.
It's an analog system. You cannot hack it.
Yes.
You cannot hack it. And add to this, Daniel, another story that we saw just break in the last couple of weeks. A minister in Dallas, Texas, was convicted for trying to sell fraudulent securities as an investment opportunity. And guess what the securities were? All of those Kuomintang nationalist Chinese bonds that have been floating around ever since the fall of the nationalist government.
Fascinating. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is incredible because the Barrett-Bond story, I think, represents that secret system of finance. Mm-hmm. And the bearer bonds window at the Federal Reserve, as we know, was open even in 1981. And you could be a drug lord, walk into the Federal Reserve, say, here's my suitcase with $50 million in it, give me a $50 million bearer bond, and they would do it.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So this exchange existed. They did close that window.
Yeah, well, no kidding. I know. I pointed out in that book and in the Secret Space Program conference in San Mateo in 2014 that Prime Minister Tanaka of Japan back in the 70s, and this is a true story, some Japanese bonds, astronomical amounts of bonds, were coming due in Japan, and the finance ministry did not have the money to redeem the bonds. So what Tanaka did was he swapped the paper. He swapped the old bonds for new bonds, and he was very clever in the way he did this. The bonds that he issued to the bondholders to swap the paper were bonds of a design that were so unlike anything that the sovereign bonds of Japan ever looked like, that later on, depending if you're a good or a bad little girl or boy, they would redeem or not because they would claim that the bonds were counterfeit.
Huh.
Yeah, isn't that nifty?
Wow.
Now, here's the question. They were never sold on any public bond market.
Interesting.
So that implies a hidden bond market.
Yes.
Okay. Now, let's go to all of these American bearer bonds. If you look at some of them, and I have pictures of these things in the books, if you look at some of them, they're very clearly modeled on the $100,000 bill, the gold certificate that Federal Reserve banks trade among themselves for clearing, okay? They've never entered public circulation, but they do exist. I've seen them myself with my own little peepers when I was 9 years old and visited the Bureau of Engraving and Printing in Washington, D.C., and there it is right behind the glass, okay? So they exist. The interesting thing about some of these American bearer bonds is that they will be printed with deliberate mistakes, like Federal Reserved bond. So the little mistakes allow them, if they ever become public, to denounce them as fake.
Okay?
But it's also a mark of authenticity to the people on that hidden system that hold them.
It's steganography, in fact.
Yeah, it's steganography. Yes, ding, ding, ding. Yes. And what is the Federal Reserve doing issuing bonds anyway? Because that's the other implication that falls out from this.
Right.
Now, is the Federal Reserve an agency of the government or a private corporation? It's a private corporation.
Yeah.
Can private corporations issue bonds? Sure.
Right.
Sure. So I suspect that this has been going on for quite a while. Then, since we're on the subject of bearer bonds and hidden systems of finance and domestic terrorism acts, don't talk about certain things that we don't want you to talk about.
Right.
Let's look at the Morgenthau bonds. Have you ever heard of those?
Yes.
All right.
fascinating.
Henry Morgenthau of the Morgenthau Plan for the reconstruction of Germany, meaning let's wipe the place out. Henry Morgenthau was Franklin Roosevelt's Secretary of the Treasury, okay? Whose assistant, by the way, was Harry Dexter White. But anyway, Soviet agent, I might add. But anyway. Yeah, what a wonderful plan he had for Japan, eh? You know? We'll buy your navy at pennies on the dollar. But anyway, the Morgenthau bonds were these bonds that were exchanged directly from the Federal Reserve to Chiang Kai-shek's nationalist government in China in return for Chiang Kai-shek moving all of nationalist China's gold into the Federal Reserve system.
Right.
So in other words, the bonds were issued against that gold. Okay, mm-hmm. But there again, these bonds had little errors when they were printed up. More steganography for you.
Yeah.
So, you know, this, we are dealing with financial fraud that's been going on since World War II.
Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Your research on those stories, I have to say that those books that you did on the breakaway civilization aspect and the secret system of finance, those were 2014, 2015, and they predicted so many things in there that they read much more in the flow right now.
Oh, yeah.
On the UFO file and everything else.
Yeah. What are you going to use all that money for? Maybe a space force.
Yeah.
Maybe we need another one.
And this is an interesting thing on Trump. Mm-hmm. He accomplished the Space Force, and now there are articles coming out saying, you know, Biden may have to scrap the Space Force. And one Washington Post article said, President Biden should get rid of the Space Force. It was very interesting and unusual. And I was thinking, the only explanation there could be that it's honeycombed with Trump loyalists.
Mm-hmm.
Because... Mm-hmm. He invented it after all.
Well, that's definitely a possibility, but I'll go you one further.
Okay.
Believe it or not, these Chinese nationalist bonds from Chiang Kai-shek's era, those bonds are still out there, and people still hold on to them in the hopes that the communist government, which has said we don't have anything to do with those, will redeem them. Okay?
Oh.
A bunch of people, you can look this story up, it's there. A bunch of people that were holders of these Chinese nationalist bonds actually approached the Trump administration to see what it could do about getting them redeemed.
Oh.
And Trump said, basically, we'll look into it.
Interesting.
So, in other words, he got involved in all of that.
Yeah.
Funny thing about that Chinese guy standing behind Mr. Biden, isn't it?
Exactly. This is fascinating. And this makes more sense to me as a world picture of what's happening, because they don't want to talk about any of this, so there's no active debate. No journalist can go into this. They have no foundation for it.
Right.
Absolutely. Right. And they've done a good job of keeping it out of the public realm, except through researchers like yourself.
Well, when the bearer bond scandals broke, they actually had an academic study written about it that I cite in one of those covert wars books.
Interesting.
It's an interesting study because this guy is going out of his way to denounce this whole thing as fake, but he never answers one significant question. Why would counterfeiters go to all the trouble, expense, and effort to fake Federal Reserve strong boxes, to counterfeit bonds that functionally are irredeemable, and denominated in numbers that even a fence would not be able to market, even at an extremely sharp discount. Why? And no one is, like I say, you don't counterfeit a $7 bill.
Right. Off the charts.
Off the charts.
Right. Joseph, this has been absolutely fascinating. I can't let you go without going into one more wild card here. The wild card is, if you go into a lot of the mystery school literature, things like the Rudolf Steiner work, Edgar Casey's work, mm-hmm. they talk about, in the 21st century, massive earth changes. Mm-hmm. In fact, one of those earth changes is California completely going underwater. For example.
Really?
you don't sound
disappointed. I shouldn't say that because I have friends that live out there.
Hopefully it's a gradual, not a cataclysmic process.
Yes, right.
but there is this map, as a matter of fact, that comes out of the Casey readings of how the world will look after those earth changes. Mm-hmm. Steiner had talked and referenced this type of thing, massive upheavals, including land rising. And in that mystery school literature, land rising that was part of Atlantis in the hot zone down there. You know, we were looking at the asteroid question, which is why are they clearing all these people, locking all these people down, testing all these people? And why are they in this mad dash for control? Mm-hmm. Earth changes. If they knew in advance that, say, a pole shift was coming, mm-hmm. do you think that that's something that would explain the incredible erratic behavior on their behalf?
Oh, absolutely, it could. Absolutely, it could. And it would. If they knew where these changes were to occur. Now, I haven't seen Steiner's version. I have seen Casey's version.
Uh huh.
And there, you know, there's lots of versions of, you know, maps after the earth changes.
Right.
If they knew where it was going to occur, that might even explain why there's such a mad rush of people to get companies out of California and New York and into Texas.
Yes.
There could be some sort of geophysics that they're aware of that they're not telling us, like, you know, this weird thing they just found from satellites over Antarctica. That could be. I don't know. That could be.
Well, it's interesting because they talk in the climate change lingo about, mm-hmm. Tides rising and overtaking coasts and things like that. It's an admission, because we know a lot of that is BS, the way that they portray climate change. Mm-hmm. But they may be setting up a scenario where they, exactly like you said, you know, there was a rumor about a decade ago that they were setting up the new DC in Denver, and that's why mm-hmm. the airport was so important. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this, again, gets us into that realm. They know where the safety lands will be.
Well, let's look at this scenario from a completely different perspective. Weather derivatives.
Right.
Okay. This is the latest fun financial instrument for Mr. Global Only to tinker around with. And like I put it years ago to my friend George Ann Hughes, when we started talking about this on her show, weather derivatives are a pretty handy thing to have around when you've also got the capability of manipulating the weather.
Yes.
Okay. So in other words, we do have weather modification technologies that I think most people, were they to learn of them, would consider just science fiction and you know, Flash Gordon sort of stuff, but they exist. The weather modification is an aspect that is right there mentioned in black and white in the patent for HARP. Okay.
What? Yes.
So there is a school of thought out there, if you dig, actually a Brazilian physicist has been front and center with this, and everybody ignores him, has been saying for almost a decade, if not more, that these ionospheric heaters are can also be associated with earthquakes. So in other words, if you've got a technology to manipulate the planet's topography itself, then you could be putting out a narrative that all of this is climate change and cow farts, when in fact it's something that you are either technologically manipulating or at least aware that the technology that you have is creating physical effects in the earth that you don't entirely understand.
Interesting.
So one of the two. So I don't rule that out either. You know, maybe all of this earth change business is something they intend to bring about. You know, right. And if they can bring it about catastrophically, that solves their population agenda too, you know. So
right.
So that's another possibility here. And I know I'm sounding like total science fiction, but I go back to what I said at San Mateo's Secret Space Conference, that in order to convince whoever's flying around up there in their UFOs that you better not tangle with us, you have to convince them that you have the technology to manipulate systems on a planetary, if not stellar, scale.
Right.
Notice the if not stellar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't mess with us or we'll make your life real complicated.
Yes.
Which poses a bit of a problem if they're already here and infiltrating things, and that might not be such a good way to go, but you get my point. There's any number of ways that this could play out, but do those technologies exist? I'm absolutely convinced that they do. We know about the ionospheric heaters. We know about other weather modification technologies. We know that our own Pentagon has said that weather is a force multiplier and part of full spectrum dominance. In other words, you know, we can really mess up your military operations by giving you a monsoon.
Right. Like
China's floods.
Right. Yes. Massive.
Massive. Massive. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And it's hurt the Chinese economy tremendously. So I don't put anything past these people. They are certifiably nuts.
And we just happen to be led by them at this point in history.
Oh, uh-huh. Uh-huh.
What great luck we have.
Yeah, what great luck. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. We've got a senile, drifting, communist Chinese agent of influence doddered in the White House that's all into climate change and follow the science. Well, that's what I'm doing here, folks. I'm just telling you, the patents exist. Go look at them, and you'll be astonished at some of the stuff you find. It's off the charts.
Absolutely fascinating. The odds that you give Biden of finishing a first term?
Goose eggs. I mean,
absolutely.
I mean, this guy had to be kept out of the public eye during his non-campaign of a campaign.
Yes.
And he's barely able to function through his own doggerel inaugural.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see him sticking around long. And let's be honest here. The Hunter Biden laptop business and all of this stuff, there was only one reason to suppress it from the news at the time that they did it. They need it for later.
Right. Right. And that they actually don't have any loyalty to Biden. They just needed him to get across the finish line.
Right. Yeah, they have no loyalty to him whatsoever.
Else.
Yeah, yeah. You're done now, Joe. You know, time to go. And if you don't, you know, we can make life real complicated. But if you go nice, we might be nice to you. Yeah.
Wow. And on Trump, after office, we know Trump has the deep connection with his uncle around advanced technology, that his uncle has the deep connection to the Tesla file and the UFO file through Vannevar Bush, that he started the Space Force and that he was able to block by picking up that populist mantle, a lot of the globalist empire taking over America. Where does he go after all this?
Well, knowing his personality, my suspicion is he's thinking two things. Number one, he knows he's got a full press assault against him. And part of that, in my opinion, is designed to keep him busy with it so he doesn't get up to other things.
Right.
Knowing the man, he'll probably get up to those other things anyway. And I'm thinking that he is, he's probably down there at Mar-a-Lago playing golf and thinking how he responds and what his response is going to be. And one of the things I'm certain he's realized by now is you cannot trust these people or play ball with them. So I suspect he will do some house cleaning of his own organization, and then he will use his financial muscle and whatever contacts he may have to make life awfully complicated as he can make it on the political scene in the near future. That doesn't mean that I think he's going to run for a second term.
Okay.
Because I don't think I think he realizes that if they are able to pull off this kind of election fraud and get away with it, that's really kind of a dead end anyway. So I'm thinking he's going to be thinking of other alternatives that he can jump into and support. One of them may be, you know, starting his own media thing. I don't know. You know, I don't know. But I do know that he's not going to sit taking this lying down. That's just not his nature. It's just really not his nature. That's what they're afraid of.
Yes, absolutely fascinating. It's interesting, too, because as you mentioned, there are rumblings of another party on the left side of the spectrum and also another party on the right side of the spectrum. So before you get into that next presidential process, you might be looking at four parties.
Yeah, you're going to be looking, I think, at well, you already are, in my opinion. You're looking at a Republican Party leadership that is long overdue for, you know, taking the broom to. It's so out of touch with its own base that I don't see that party surviving in anything like its current form. I mean, it's going to go the way of the Whigs. You know, they're going to hang on to their agenda and their way of doing things for dear life until they're extinct.
Right.
And I think the same thing you're looking at the Democratic Party as well. But I think the Democratic Party is less likely to splinter as badly as the Republican Party. The way I'm reading the Trump base and his supporters, they are done with the GOP. They are just done with the GOP.
Absolutely.
Because the GOP, ever since Eisenhower, has been long on talk and short on action.
Fascinating.
Think Senator Robert Taft versus Ike 1952.
Okay.
There you go. Taft would have gotten something done.
Interesting.
Ike played golf and gave us the interstate.
And everybody liked Ike.
Everybody liked Ike, yeah, right.
And Nixon was his VP after all.
And Nixon was his VP. Nick Dixon, for crying out.
Joseph, we started the episode off with the Emergency Enabling Act of the Nazis in 1933. It eventually, if you track it through over 5 years of them pushing the boundaries, ends up with the Anschluss in 1938 of Austria, the annexation. If we look at this as a historically repeating pattern, where would you put the annexation of Austria in modern times? What would that look like in this
a renegotiation of NAFTA?
Yes.
I mean, if you look at Justin Trudeau up in Canada, that man is even nuttier than the one we've got in charge of the lying circus in Swampington, D.C.
He is. I agree.
I mean, he's totally wacko.
Unbelievable.
And
ridiculous, yeah.
You know, this country has tried over and over again to annex Canada, even to the point at a Bilderberg meeting where they were talking about how they could get Quebec to revolt. You know, I mean, just all sorts of nonsense.
Right.
And, you know, I'm thinking, we've got enough problems of our own. We don't need to add Canadian problems to the mix. And right. I don't think the Canadians would particularly like us to annex them under the guise of a free trade agreement. And the same holds true for Mexico, you know, which is a very different culture than this. So how is that going to go together? And the problem with Mr. Globalone is that Mr. Globalone absolutely ignores culture in his political calculations. That's why the European Union is falling apart. The French like to be French, you know, for crying out loud. And who can blame them? You know. So, and this idea of getting everything into these big federated bureaucratic states and ignoring the culture of the nations involved is not going to work. Right. We're seeing it. You know, it's going to be a failure. They're going to try every means of force they have to make it work, but ultimately it won't. Ultimately,
fascinating. It won't. Wow, that's incredible. And I knew that you would know what the corollary would be.
Oh yeah, you got to remember, what was the Anschluss really? Well, if you go back to the end of World War One, Woodrow Wilson made a plank of his involvement in the negotiations that every nationality would be given the right of self-determination, okay?
Right.
Except Austria.
Oh.
Because the Treaty of Trianon specifically that was the treaty with Austria-Hungary, which broke Austria-Hungary up into all these little nation states that Germany could dominate, conveniently enough. You know, whoops. That didn't work out too well, but anyway. But Austria, the feeling in Austria at the end of World War One was, well, let's just join Germany.
Right.
There's no point of us being apart. And of course, Hitler's from Austria. So, you know, it was perfectly natural. The Anschluss was really about creating what the Germans had always wanted to create in Europe, and that's a German-dominated free trade zone. Looky what we got now. You know? Right. So Austria was part of the plan and always was. And it was good geopolitical thinking on Hitler's part, too, because the next morsel to be gobbled up was Czechoslovakia.
Right.
So you put Austria on the south of Czechoslovakia and the rest of Germany all the way around it. You know, what's poor Edward Beneš supposed to do? Especially when Daladier and Chamberlain and Mussolini and Hitler get together to decide Czechoslovakia's fate and don't invite Czechoslovakia. That's kind of the handwriting on the wall.
Wow, incredible. The Sudetenland, that was the end of that. And
well, remember what was in the Sudetenland.
What was it?
Europe's only supply of uranium.
Fascinating. Oh.
That's the hidden part of the story they don't talk about.
There's the real
and then history. After the Sudetenland is annexed by Nazi Germany, then the Germans announce that they've discovered nuclear fission.
Wow.
Surprise!
And their cover story was like, look, there's so many native German people in the Sudetenland. They just want to be part of the homeland. We want to do this without a war. Come on, let us march in. It's like, let's get those nuclear bombs going.
Yes, let's get those nuclear bombs. Who cares about the Sudeten Germans? Hitler? No, I don't think so.
Just an incredible overview. And of course, you're able to read through the deep history in a way that no one else can. You've taken a break from writing a new book, but you have some changes coming up that we'll be hearing about soon.
I hope, Lord willing.
Yes.
I'm having to deal with some problems, and they will take me some time to deal with. But if I'm successful, I will let everybody know, and if I'm not, I'll keep my mouth shut.
There's some exciting projects coming up, we'll put it that way.
Yes. Yes, there are.
That's great to see you. Everyone can get your books at GizaDeathStar.com. Of course, the incredible series that you recently did on McCarthy and Project Blue Book. Unbelievable discovery.
Speaking of Project Blue Book.
Yes.
Have you been watching this Canadian series called Project Blue Book? Run and get it.
Ah, okay.
Because it's a fictionalization of J. Allen Hynek.
Yes. Oh, I have seen those on the History Channel. Yes.
On the History Channel. Yeah.
Yes.
It's another one of those weird Canadian series that comes out every now and then that drops all of this stuff in the guise of fiction
into
the mix. I'm watching it right now, and I'm just like, did they just say that? No wonder it's being produced in Canada, not down right here.
It's a little bit more free, shall we say. It's,
yeah, a little bit more free, even under Prime Minister, what's his name? But
Castro.
Prime Minister Castro. Well, there is a resemblance now that you mention it.
Well, is that interesting? I guess we have to ask Lady Trudeau, really, what the story was all about. Great to see you, and amazing work. And I highly recommend, as I said, you know, your books, of course, they're all interesting, dealing with the cosmic war and breaking these things down. But seeing that political struggle around the UFO file and breaking it through the secret system of finance, that stuff reads now like as if it's today's headlines. So I
all tied to Senator McCarthy. Joe McCarthy
in the UFO file.
Joe McCarthy in the UFO file. Are you now, or have you ever been an alien?
That's book three in your series.
That's book three in the series. Yeah, I can see it. Oh, my. I have, you know, I started to research another book, and I ran into another one of these wacky Fort Monmouth things. And I can't even talk about it because when I saw it, I just was.
Wow.
So old Joe managed to put his foot right in the middle of it. It's just incredible.
So we can anticipate there'll be a book about Monmouth.
There will be a book eventually that will have something about Monmouth in it. Whether or not I'm able to get around to that book anytime soon remains to be seen.
So much about Fort Monmouth and the transcripts of the McCarthy hearings. Just incredible. And we will have you back shortly because you and I are going to do a show on the Templars.
Okay.
Some very unique esoteric aspects that you brought in that I want to cross-reference with you because I think we have something that you mentioned now in Thrice Great Hermetica that I think that they are discovering now.
So, oh, that sounds juicy. I'll look forward to that one.
It's great to see you.
Good to see you, sir. Thank you for having me back.
Have a great afternoon.
Yep, you too.
Amazing information, and we'll have more fascinating information coming up for you here in February at darkjournalist.com. Remember to join us for the X series on Friday evenings at 8 p.m. See you soon.